You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday. Congrats on surviving another fun week for Pacers basketball and another hopefully fun week in your life. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, who are fresh off a nice win in Phoenix after a nice win in Denver and a blowout loss in Utah on a back-to-back. Today, not a back-to-back in Golden State, and Golden State kind of stinks, but we'll preview that action. Hopefully, the Pacers can get another win and secure a winning record on their current road trip. The All-Star starters were announced today for the Eastern Conference. I want to talk about that, how it affects Sabonis and the Pacers in general, and if, you know, I want to look at the reserve group now and see if that group, who might make it, and if Sabonis can be in that group. And then, of course, in typical Tony fashion, I'm going to talk about TJ Leaf, because we haven't talked about TJ Leaf in a while, and I was trying to assess where he's at and what the situation around him might be, because I was surprised to see him not play at the end of the Phoenix game. So he will be talked about. It will not be long. Don't worry. But let's start with the Warriors, because that is tonight's opponent, of course. The Warriors, it's so weird because you would never, like, they were kind of like the sexy preseason pick to you know, get the sixth seed, because Curry and Draymond are awesome. And then all, you know, Klay's going to come back and they're going to be a sneaky playoff team. And then Steph gets hurt and then Draymond barely plays and D'Lo gets hurt and they just suck. They're just horrible. They have the least amount of wins in the entire NBA, I believe, with 10. The Hawks even have 11, and their second best player is like John Collins, who missed a bunch of time. So yeah, the Warriors are really bad, and that is not where anyone expected them to be. But it's kind of justified with how many guests. The 10 is the lowest wins in the league, by the way. It's kind of justified with how many of their guys are hurt. Which is just like the worst way to enjoy a team, right? If you're a fan, it's so hard to tune into like your intentionally signed backups. But that's what the Warriors are stuck with. And frankly, D'Angelo Russell is great and makes this team fun to watch. But I mean, they're just getting nothing from Draymond recently. And everyone else in their team is like a good role player alongside the stars they would have. But those guys aren't playing. So it's going to be interesting for this game specifically to me, because they really, it's not the Warriors, you know, where they're just flying around everywhere and creating all these threes, and they have role men making quick decisions and beating you if you're too slow and you have to be playing perfect defense the whole time. This Warriors team is a lot slower and more, they try to be more methodical and open up stuff, but they just don't have the creation to do that stuff. And they're a little younger, which kills them in this matchup to me against the Pacers, right? So they're front court right now. They started in their last game, at least. And I know they start Willie Cauley-Stein a lot. They were happy to get him this summer, but he's not been awesome for them. And they started Damian Lee, who they just signed as well, who's good in the G League for them and on a two-way. And then they also give a ton of front court minutes to Eric Paschal, their rookie. He's kind of a tweener forward. And Marquise Chris and Omari Spellman, they acquired a former first-round pick. So you've heard all those names. Okay, some of you might not have heard of a single one of those guys before. You probably have heard of Willie Cauley-Stein, former top 10 pick. Chris was a top 10 pick as well. He was never good in the NBA. So those guys are all trying to prove they belong in the league. Not one of them can guard in the post. Like Sabonis, like against the Suns, you know, where they, like Ayton's awesome at some stuff, and Saric can space the floor, and they had, oh my gosh, who was the backup center for the Suns? I can't remember with Baines out. What was it? Cheick Diallo, you know. He can kind of, he's really athletic and stuff. But none of those guys are strong enough to defend in the post or alert enough to just stick with what Sabonis does. That's the same with the Warriors, right? They don't have anyone who can even has a prayer of guarding this guy. Draymond is a great defender. If they put Draymond on him, Draymond can guard Sabonis, but then you're just running the risk of Turner just shooting over these guys, and Turner can beat all that group off the dribble. And that's if Draymond even plays. And not to jump on Draymond too much in this section, but he has been just rubbish. I'm using a British word for some reason here. Rubbish of late. So I think one of Sabonis or Turner is going to have a fantastic game, because it's going to be so hard for the Warriors to contain these guys. So let me read off a few recent Draymond games. You know what? Better yet, let's go with Draymond's stats since 2020 started. Okay, here's Draymond Green, multiple-time All-Star, Defensive Player of the Year, All-NBA guy. Draymond Green stats since 2020 started. He's been playing 27 and a half minutes per game, 4.5 points, 5.8 rebounds, 4.9 assists, shooting 27.3% from the field, 20% from three. Wow. That guy sucks. That is a terrible player. And, you know, Draymond's an awesome defender, and he is a quick decision maker, and he fits in around the high-flying offense that has Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But without either of those guys, he is useless on that end of the floor, and he's disengaged on defense. And it's going to be very interesting to see what version of him they get. But he doesn't even play that much, right? They're going to be some Sabonis minutes without him anyway. They're going to tear those up. And then D'Angelo Russell, for as good as he is on offense this year, right? He had 26 against the Jazz a few nights ago for this Warriors team. He's easily their best offensive player, both creating for himself and others. At this point in time, great player. He's a terrible defender. And at the two guard, you know, who even knows? That's where Lee basically starts, but he's a big guy. Like, he's a good rebounder for a guard. Damian Lee will be there. They'll have Alec Burks in there. Jordan Poole, who is a younger guy as well. Like, these guys are not good defenders either. So you got a good chance for Brogdon to do some stuff too. There's going to be a lot of Brogdon Sabonis two-man game. Shocking. And if those bench guards of Burks and Poole play a ton of minutes like they did in the last game for the Warriors, they were both at over 20 minutes. And Jacob Evans, the rookie who I think got hurt in that game, actually, he was almost at 20 minutes as well. There's just going to be a lot of opportunities for guys to just have a mismatch without any switches or anything, which I think is going to lend a lot of hammer pick and roll, simple stuff. You know, you don't have to do anything complicated to try to free up a guy. You don't have to run a ton of sets. You just, here's the ball, here's a screen, get your advantage and score. Because, you know, for all we know the Warriors to be, this is not them. And they can do whatever they want to try to stop it, but they can't. They're 22nd in defense for a reason. Without Draymond, they're worse than that. They're 29th in offense, which means you get a lot of transition opportunities, which means McConnell could play well this game. But all the guys who just understand the two-man game and the angles, you know, McDermott with his spacing, Miles with his spacing, Sabonis with everything. He's the highest IQ player on the team, probably. Brogdon. Those guys are going to thrive. And then the secondary guys who just, you know, catch in there and isolate and score, Lamb and Warren, if they just shoot okay, this should be an easy win. The Warriors just stink. They, outside of Russell, they have no creation. You know, when he's off the floor, they can't do anything. They got, I mean, destroyed by the Jazz, who also destroyed the Pacers. They lost to the Jazz by 33 points. They were minus 24 with Russell on. They were minus 9 with him off, which isn't actually as bad as it looks, but that, you know, it's just, they're just bad. They just can't outscore teams no matter what combination of guys are on the floor. So all the high IQ guys are just going to feast, and all the secondary guys, not saying anyone's low IQ on this Pacers rotation, there's a reason they're really good, but all the guys who are, you know, not as inclined to be the setup man or read the defense as much are just going to have to hit an okay percentage. I'm talking like 40 to 35. And Aaron Holiday could have a big game too. You know, his self-creation against these bad second unit guards are going to be great. I think the Pacers win this game pretty easily though. Like the post play, they're just going to dominate, and you know, it's been their bread and butter all season. So Warriors, thanks for playing. We'll see you in March when Steph Curry is playing, and maybe Klay, actually, honestly. But when Steph Curry is playing and you're actually a challenging team to potentially beat, we will talk about this then. But, yeah, the Pacers should win this game, should go to 3-1 on their West road trip, and that'll be that. Okay, All-Star starters came out today, so let's take a little break and talk about that. But first, of course, we're going to talk about MyBookie because it's awesome and there's fun betting stuff going on all the time. For example, this was not on MyBookie, but it was fun. If you saw today, there was a way to bet on IU, and every 250 bets on Indiana, the spread went up a point. So right before IU played Michigan State, they won, by the way, go Hoosiers, you could have bet on Indiana at plus 101.5, right? So that's just like free money. You could have to bet $50 on that. They would have given you shit odds, but you can win money. And betting and winning money is fun, especially, you know, in your own way. If you can, maybe, obviously you're not going to get anything that ridiculous, but, you know, finding a bet that you like, you can bet it and win. And that's what MyBookie's all about. You know, they pay you out well, which a lot of sites, even some bigger ones, are not known for. This is the best time for betting with March Madness right around the corner. The Super Bowl's coming up. Tons of fun prop bets there. And winning money is just awesome. So go to MyBookie to do it. And if you do your deposit now and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA when you hop in there and do your first deposit, they'll match all the way up to half. So up to $2,000. So if you do any amount up to $2,000, they give you half. If you do $2,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet with for free. That's with the code LOCKEDONNBA. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All-star starters. Fun stuff, except not really. All-star starters, people got all up in arms about the fan voting. I do not give a bleep about fan voting. All-star starters in the Eastern Conference. Kemba Walker, easy, obvious. Trae Young, easy, obvious. Wait, maybe not. We'll talk about it. Pascal Siakam, been playing great this year. Joel Embiid, been playing great, but been hurt a lot this year. And for the life of me, I can't remember the last one off the top of my head. I thought I'd be able to without looking it up. Oh, Giannis, obviously, I'm an idiot. Okay, so what does that mean for the Pacers? Well, they weren't likely to get any starters unless all the media and players put Sabonis or Brogdon, but Sabonis likely. Brogdon probably missed too many games to be an all-star, even though he's probably been good enough in the games he's played. So Sabonis is not a starter. So the best case for Sabonis, right? So let's back up. The way that the reserves are chosen is by the coaches. And I know for a fact Brad Stevens a few weeks ago mentioned something to the effect of his all-star picks are about like the guys he has to game plan the most for or something like that. And those are typically guys who are stars. But I also think that coaches put more of a winning component to it than the other group, than the players group, and definitely the fan group. So it's easier if you're on a losing team to be a starter than a reserve. Now, I think Trae Young's an all-star either way, and I'm going to say I think using record to evaluate all-stars is ridiculously stupid. Trae Young should not be punished for having just the shittiest teammates. Not that his teammates are, like, terrible. John Collins is good. I like Kevin Herter. But they're a really, really crappy roster, right? They're really young. They're inexperienced. They're learning together. They're just really bad, and Trae should not be punished for that. He's been amazing. He accounts for like something like 50 points created a game or something insane. I have no problem with him being a starter. He's just nuts. But I think with coaches, they're more likely to not pick a guy like Trae Young. So Trae Young being a starter, because coaches are more inclined to reward team success, kind of hurts this chance of Sabonis a little bit, right? Because now he's going up against a group of guys who are mostly on winning teams, right? So the list of guys available for the reserves, it's probably like these 12. I have this list in front of me from a tweet I saw that I agreed with, and I might be missing someone here, but I don't think so. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Bradley Beal, Chris Middleton, Kyle Lowry, Zach LaVine, Spencer Dinwiddie, Brogdon, Sabonis, and Bam Adebayo. So 7 of those 12 guys can make it right off the bat. Bam's in. Butler's in, Lowry's in, there's 3, Ben Simmons, he's in, there's 4, Chris Middleton, he's in, there's 5. I didn't even say Andre Drummond, he might have a good case here too. So now you have Drummond, Beal, Tatum, Brown, Sabonis, LaVine, and Dinwiddie, and Brogdon. I think Brogdon's out. So that's a hard group to pick 2 from. I doubt the Celtics get 3 All-Stars, so 1 of Tatum and Brown, and then Beal, Sabonis, LaVine, Dinwiddie. Let's take out Dinwiddie, whatever, he's good, but not that good. And LaVine, same thing. So basically, the all-star team case for Sabonis is, can you say with confidence that between himself, Chris Middleton, Bradley Beal, and one of Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, he has had one of the best 2 seasons? I'm guessing Tatum I think Middleton might have a better case than people give him credit for, and I think Tatum is the best of those 2 Celtics. So it's going to be pretty tough. It's a pretty tough group of guys that Sabonis is competing with right there. I think he deserves a spot, obviously. Like, he's been amazing this year, 18-13. He's the best player on a really good team. And again, I don't put record into it a bunch, but when you're the best player on a team and you're the one that makes them go, that's different, right? Like, Trae is the reason the Hawks go, and that's why I think he's amazing. So I think he's got a really good shot, right? You could give him the case over any of those guys. You could probably, you know, you could argue him with Bam, even though I think Bam's had a better year. And so it's going to be interesting. I think he's got a really good shot, but it's a tougher group than people get credit for. So I think Trae getting the starting spot actually kind of hurts him, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting. We'll find out, I think, in a week, although I think it might get leaked before that. We'll see. So next Friday you could hear the Sabonis is an all-star or Sabonis is not an all-star podcast. We'll see. But I think it's going to be interesting, and I think it's up to the coaches to figure it out. Now, Of course. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going to talk about TJ Leaf, who hasn't played much in a long time, and that's part of why we're going to talk about him. So let's do it. But actually, I'm going to plead with you first. So you've heard Adam talk about it, and now it's my turn because we, you know, obviously like advertising products we think are cool and that that people want to hear about. But I like local stuff a lot. I like indie a lot. And if you've been a listener to this show, you know that we like to get products to sports fans. But you may not know that on Locked On Pacers, it's a great way for your local business to reach Pacers fans. And I understand the city. I can help sell stuff for you. I like the city. I'll be passionate about it. You know, as a listener of this, you can, you know, it's a great opportunity for you to hop on and have your product sold. And I would love for you to do that. And if you want to connect with Pacers fans via Locked On Pacers, you should do that. And you should put your company right here in this spot. Local fans love local businesses, of course, especially if you're downtown around the arena. Text the word advertising to 33777 or go to lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. Let us know who you are. We have a team that can help you get all that set up, and we could talk about your awesome local business, which I would love to do. So that's once again advertising to 33777 or go to lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. I hope I get to hear from someone. That would be awesome, and I would love to talk to you individually and, of course, with our sales team. So please reach out. But now let's talk some TJ Leaf. Oh, I can't believe this is a real segment, and this is the most me thing ever, right? Like, I'm the guy who talks about the Maddens on the show and stuff like that. So Leaf hasn't, like there's nothing about TJ Leaf's play that makes you go, oh, we have to stop covering this team the way we are. Oh, let's not talk about Portland on Sunday so I can talk about TJ Leaf. You know, that it's kind of weird, but the end of the Phoenix game really made me scratch my head because he didn't play. They were up by almost 30 points, and he did not play. Doug McDermott stayed in the game the whole time. And I stopped and I said, you know, what is going on? Because Goga's in, Jakar's in, Sumner is in, Holiday's in. Those guys are all young, and you want to get them the extra minutes. Even if it's another crappy guys, and they're very minimal for development, they are not meaningless, right? They are clearly helpful. They are NBA minutes against NBA players. You cannot simulate that in the G League. You cannot simulate that in practice. There's a reason that teams unload their bench at the end of games. Well, one is to avoid injuries to their starter. But anyway, Doug McDermott was the fifth guy there, not TJ Leaf. And I was shocked by that. And just the night before in Utah, Leaf got burned. And he scored on a fast break where he looked a little spry. I mean, obviously, you know, you all watch TJ Leaf. For him, he looked spry. He made a nice move. And he, you know, they had three bigger wins early January. He didn't play. The last time he had played before that game was in 2019. That was his first appearance of 2020 in that Jazz game. He got in at the end of the blowout against Philly. It was his second basket, and it was a goaltend. It didn't even go through the rim. It was his second made basket since November 27th, so since around Thanksgiving. So he is just totally, like, out of the rotation, you know. He's played, I had to do some fun math, he's played 21 minutes and 56 seconds of total playing time since December 1st is an arbitrary month cutoff, but that's since November 29th. He hasn't played at all, even hardly junk time. He's not going to the G League. So I'm kind of intrigued by him not playing at the end of this Phoenix game a little more than I should be, because this either me, like, I just don't understand. Are they, if they're giving up on his development, that's fine. You know, you could do that, but then maybe play Alizé. Like, if Alizé's not active, that's another thing. And he probably wasn't. Alizé probably wasn't active and couldn't play. So let me rephrase that. Never mind. Don't play Alizé. But, like, it doesn't make any sense to me that Leaf is not in right then. And I was just very surprised to see it. Actually, maybe Leaf was inactive and I need to scrap this whole segment. So it'd be the two-way guys and Leaf was definitely active. It would have been the two-way guys, Alizé and Victor Oladipo, who's been out for forever. Okay, so Leaf was definitely active. So I was very, yes, now I'm equally surprised to see him not play, especially because he played in Utah. And so what's the plan here, right? If they're giving up on him, should they not send him to the G League at all and at least have him help the Mad Ants? Like, I know he doesn't do much in the NBA on the floor this year. He won them a game, actually, against Cleveland. But, like, he had crazy stats when he played for the Mannets his rookie year. Like, he dominates those guys. So you could help the Mannets by throwing him down there if you want to do that and keep Alizé up. Or even throw him in garbage time. And if neither of those are the plan, I really wonder, like, is he in the works for a trade? You could probably sell him higher than his actual value is to the Pacers, right? His value to the Pacers is almost is zero at this point, right? He does not play in the rotation to help them win. He's behind their other rookie in terms of development post time. That's Goga I'm talking about. You know, they don't really seem to care. Not care is the wrong word. They don't really seem to have a ton of value on his development, whereas another youngish team might. So I'm wondering if they're not playing him at the end of games, if there's a plan for him to develop some other way, or if maybe they're searching for a different home for him or something. I have no idea what's going on, but I was just very surprised to not see him play at the end of a 20-plus point win, right? The last time they won by 30, or they won by 30. They lost by 30 and he played. The last time they had a game finished with a 20-point deficit, that was in New Orleans. Guess what? He played. The time before that was in Milwaukee. Guess what? He played. The time before that is when they beat Charlotte. Guess what? He played. So why did he not play this time? I can't really explain it. And maybe it's just a one-time deal and I'm completely overthinking it, but I was just very surprised to not see him on the floor. So I'm curious about his future, and we'll see. I don't think that it means anything. I don't think one game means anything for him, but I just wanted to think out loud and maybe just talk to you guys about, you know, what this could mean, what could be coming for him. But who really knows? Maybe we'll have more clarity. If he's still on the team after the trade deadline, I wonder if we'll see him actually get assigned to the Mad Ants for some more games, because if he's definitely not going to get rotation minutes, and if he's not getting garbage 10 minutes, you've got to get him game time somehow. So we'll see what happens. It's been a tough year and maybe not the best fit in Indiana for TJ Leaf, but we'll see. On that somber, sad note about a guy who some people liked coming out of that draft, I was not one of those people. But anyway, on that note, that is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Should be a fun weekend. See if they can win in Portland for the first time in forever. The old stomping grounds of Dan McMillan and Kevin Pritchard. Should be a fun two games this weekend. On Monday, we'll be back, of course, to recap it all. And on Monday, guess what, guys? Their next game will be Victor Oladipo's return against that Bulls next Wednesday. We're almost there. Two more games. They're both happening this weekend. Enjoy them. And that is all for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys on Monday.